You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to the FWA podcast in association with William Hill. Alex Dunn in the studio, joined on the line by Charlie Wyatt of The Sun to discuss all things England. Good morning, Charlie.
How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Good. You've just come back from Germany, haven't you, of course?
Dortmund for that game, yeah. It was an interesting one, yeah.
Plenty that... I would say there was plenty that England did right in that game, but they still lost.
I think... You're right. It's funny talking to a few people that were at the game and obviously fans that weren't. I think there's a sense of perspective over these friendlies now, and maybe people are starting to understand a bit more that actually it is the performance. It's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? The performance on the night, not the result in these friendlies. But it's actually true, because when you think about, you know, the previous three times we played in Germany and won, of course, 12 months ago we went to Berlin. It was as exciting international friendly that I've ever covered. The Eric Dier goal as well. Ultimately, it meant nothing because England went out, you know, embarrassing style in Iceland. So I think Gareth Southgate's got a very different approach to Roy Hodgson. He used it as he should have done in Dortmund to experiment, to try the three-man defence. And I think the signs are encouraging regardless of the result, which... I think it was a great goal from Lukas Podolski. Did Germany deserve to win? No. I think it should have been a draw, deserved to be a draw. But it really doesn't matter. England have got to use these games to try players out and try systems. So, yeah, there were some encouraging points from that match.
Do you think there is scope for this three at the back for England going forward? It didn't look out of place, did it?
It didn't. Absolutely. And again, Southgate said it's going to depend on the opposition. Lithuania on Sunday wouldn't surprise me if they reverted to a back four, bearing in mind, you know, their rankings outside the top 100. I would use that game again to stick with the back three, personally. It's a game you'd expect England to win, a game England have to win, and a game I'm sure they will win. Tougher tests to follow, but I think England will be OK on Sunday night.
Michael Keane made his debut and I thought was quite impressive, to be honest. I've seen obviously bits of him playing for Burnley and obviously brought up through the Manchester United Academy, but again he didn't look massively out of place. Made a few mistakes later on in the game, may not be suited to the three at the back, may be suited to it. We don't really know, he's not really played it at club level, but he's certainly one that I think we should be keeping an eye on in future years. Could be potentially an England captain in the making.
Absolutely, because, you know, over the last year or so, in terms of central defenders, we've seen Gary Cahill emerge as a key player. He's enjoyed a great season. Everyone's looked at John Stones, and of course we've had Eric Dier. And people assume that no one else is coming through. Now, Michael Keane is having a great season. I spoke to him after the match and really impressed with him. Really bright, articulate. And he's really driven by his experience at Manchester United. And he admitted afterwards he'd got a bit of a point to prove. The only time he's played in a three-man defence, he said, was actually for Van Gaal at United in pre-season. So it's the only time he's ever done that. So he said he had to adjust to that. But there's a real... You can tell there's some fire in his belly, you know, determined to reach the top. I'm pretty sure that he will get a big move in the summer, away from Burnley, maybe to Everton for about 25 million. I think he really is looking to develop himself as a player. He's been great switch to Burnley, great business for Burnley. He's been there, he was there on loan and switched 2 years ago. But for England, I think we'll see more of Mark Keane. I really do. Very impressed.
You touched on John Stones there. He's someone who arguably would be suited by the three at the back, given how good he is on the ball and the fact that he does make the odd mistake, but at least have two players behind him to try and fix things. Do you think he'll come back into the side for the Lithuania game?
I think he's got a chance, yeah. I really do. And, you know, he's a player that is quality. He has had some criticism, quite rightly so. But he's a good player, Stones. He really is. He's good on the eye. As you said, he's comfortable with the ball. Over the next 6 months to a year, he's a player that really needs to push on, to develop, to stop making the mistakes, as all young defenders do. I know he's not a kid anymore, but even players who have been around a while, despite their age, he will improve. He's a good player, but he's got competition, and Keane is one of those players that will be pushing him for a place in the England squad or starting 11s.
Mm. And as you were just saying there, it could be that Keane fills the Stones void at Everton, if you like. I know, obviously, he left a while
ago.
Yeah,
it looks that way, yeah.
That could be a goer. Two more players I just want to focus on before we move on to looking ahead to the action. Jake Livermore made his debut?
No, it wasn't, no.
No, he played a few minutes before.
Yeah.
But again, I wouldn't have had him as an automatic selection by any means. I admit that my eyebrows were a little raised when he was chosen, particularly in the starting 11. And he made a few mistakes once again, but showed an impressive array of passing, and he's got one heck of an engine, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. Yeah. And I think this is... We're going to see this more with Gareth Southgate in his squads, that he wants players to fit into his system. He wants players that he likes, their character. And I think there'll be a few big egos take a bashing over the next few months and years. Wayne Rooney is the obvious one, isn't it? And Livermore did okay. He's going to have to do more when England play again. I don't think he'll be starting against Lithuania. I think he will get another chance. I think he'll need to do a bit more than he did the other night. And it's interesting, you know, after the game on Sunday, England have actually got three away games. And they're all very different games. We've got Scotland in June, followed by a friendly in Paris against France, where, again, maybe players like Livermore and Keane will have another chance. And then September the 1st, off to Malta.
Yeah, very different games, the three of those. The final player that I want to touch on is Jermaine Defoe. Of course, we didn't see any of him in Germany. He was, again, not a surprise call-up, but eyebrows were raised, given his age and the fact that he has been largely ignored for the last few years. You can't knock his club form. Were you surprised that he didn't play any part in Germany?
I was. I think he might get a chance on Sunday. But, yeah, I was surprised. I'm glad he's back in the fold. And I think it's an interesting comparison, Jermaine Defoe in England to Germany. On Wednesday, Lukas Podolski played his 130th game for Germany. Of course, his 49th and final goal was that brilliant strike past Joe Hart. I think we have to look at why we lose players in the system, why we give up on them. Partly, Jermaine Defoe, in my opinion, made a stupid decision to go to MLS in Toronto. Mm. When he could have carried on playing. But I think sometimes we are quite keen to end players' careers, or just think, oh, he's too old, or he's not scored however many games in England, in the Premier League. And I think we should keep players, experienced players, and nurture them. And even going back to players like John Stones, just accept the fact that they're going to make mistakes and not be keen to write them off. And you're looking at these German teams over the years, of course, they've got a better mentality than English side. But a real theme is not only have they kept the same manager for nearly 11 years now, players like Podolski have been in the system for 13 years. And they've grown together. They've developed together. They've matured together. A lot of those players at the World Cup have now left. But players like Mertesacker and Schweinsteiger. But the Germans, they just keep the consistency, and that's so important, and that's why it's crucial that we not only still look at some of the older players, that we help the younger ones through, and we keep the same manager. That's really important.
Yeah, certainly something that has been lacking in England in recent years. As for Sunday, England host Lithuania. England 8's on, the draw 8-1, Lithuania 25-1. Is there any way that England don't win this, Charlie?
Won't necessarily be a walkover. I think England will win. You've got to remember a game in Lithuania in the last set of qualifiers that was anything but straightforward. It was a 1-0 win. Very, very difficult. Raheem Sterling came on having told Roy Hodgson he was too tired to train in the build-up to the game, then arrived, won a free kick, made a difference, and Rooney scored. And it was a struggle, a real tough game. Now, at Wembley, you'd expect England to be OK, but as you've seen time and time again, even when teams like San Marino come, certainly countries ranked over 100 in the world, they come to defend, and that makes it really, really difficult. So I'm not anyone expecting a 6-0 victory. and it wouldn't surprise me if there's just a couple of goals in it, but England will win.
OK, so maybe England to win 2-0, maybe 3-0.
Yeah.
2-0 is available at 9-2, 3-0 also 9-2. Plenty of enhanced odds as well to take advantage of if you take a look on the William Hill website. Now, we'll jump back in time to Friday night's game between the Republic of Ireland and Wales. Fascinating clash, this one, Charlie, because Wales, if you're going on what they achieved in the Euros and where they sit in the FIFA World Rankings, they're possibly underachieving at present. Ireland are 6-4, the draw 2-1, Wales are 9-4. Wales, the outsiders for a clash that many people would see them as favourites for, if you like. Do you think Wales can go to Ireland and win, or do you think that Ireland at home are still pretty formidable? They've started this qualifying campaign really well.
It's a massive game for Wales, this, and it really is must not lose. Otherwise, the gap with Ireland will be horrendous for them. It's an unusual situation for Wales because they've got expectancy now, haven't they? They're playing under pressure, a bit like England have done for many years, that people are expecting Wales to win. They're still a very good team, got a good manager, they've got a couple of A-listers in that team, but they have to deal with the pressure, and they've not done that as well as they have done previously in this bunch of qualifiers. So they really need to win this game. They certainly can't afford to lose, and they need to get, so the spirit's there, there's absolutely no doubt about that, but they do need to try and sneak a good result there. And Ireland have been pretty impressive, and actually since the Euros, Wales have taken maybe a step backwards and Ireland without doubt a step forward.
Who would you be backing then in a game like this? Would you think a draw? Right, okay.
Yeah, 2-2 draw.
Okay, 2-2 draw in that one. It's 2-1 for the draw as an outright, and if you are looking for the correct score markets, then 2-2 is available at 20-1. Massive price in that one. Right, we'll move back to Sunday. Scotland. Scotland hosts Slovenia on Sunday evening. 7:45 kickoff for this one. And Scotland come here off the back of a pretty disappointing draw against Canada. Things aren't looking great for Gordon Strachan at the minute. Coming into this game, Scotland 7-5, the draw 21-10, and Slovenia 23-10, as we record this on Friday lunchtime. There's no momentum behind Scotland at the minute, is there, Charlie?
There's not, and actually, if you look at them, why I think they're underachieving, if you're going to compare, and I know it's easy to compare, but you compare that Scotland team, certainly not going to compare them with Wales, not going to compare with Ireland and Northern Ireland. You look at the amount of players that they've got there and the experience in it. They should be doing much better than they are. You know, you're not talking a bunch of League One players in that Scotland squad. You've got some experienced players, players that played in the Premier League. You've got some good young players coming through as well. Oliver Burke, who is just not being used as much as I would expect by Gordon Strachan. And this game is massive for him. If they don't beat Slovenia, I can't see any way out for Gordon Strachan here, whether he will resign or he'll be dismissed. But certainly if they lose to Slovenia, I don't see him remaining. And, of course, I was really hoping Scotland were going to make a good fist of it in these qualifiers. I know only one can get out of our group, but I really hoped they would be pushing England and certainly be in and around a playoff spot, because I want Scotland to get through to the World Cup, and I want Northern Ireland. We saw in France how fantastic it was, and even as a journalist, not just to be concentrating on England, but to have Northern Ireland and Wales there. It was a brilliant experience, and that's why I think, you know, a lot of fans do want all the home nations there. It would be great if Scotland could get to Moscow or Russia, but at the moment, they've got one hell of a task, and they just have to beat Slovenia Sunday.
And Slovenia are no back number, are they?
No, they're all right. They're all right. That's why I don't see Scotland winning. I think I'm going to go for another draw, 1-1.
Okay. The draw 21-10, the 1-1 draw is available at 11-2. The final game we're going to focus on is also on Sunday evening. It's Northern Ireland against Norway. Priced up exactly the same as the Scotland game. Northern Ireland 7-5, the draw 21-10, and Norway are 23-10. And Northern Ireland, again, a side who maybe are quite... fans are quite expectant now. They're under a little bit of pressure to actually perform. pressure that maybe they haven't had at all for quite a long time. And they come up against a Norway side who, let's be honest, are no great shakes. Northern Ireland will see this as a very winnable opportunity. But again, it's a game that they don't need to win, but they'd very much like to.
I think they'll win. You're right, there is a bit of pressure on Northern Ireland now. Equally, I think anyone in their right mind will look at that table and know that this is the race for second place, isn't it? This is the race for the playoffs. Mm. There's absolutely no way Germany are not going to win their group. So I think everyone accepts that. But I think Northern Ireland, again, like Wales, has still got the spirit there. You know, they need to score a couple of goals. Hopefully Conor Washington can deliver. And I think they'll beat Norway 1-0.
Okay, 1-0 then to Northern Ireland. That is available at 11-2. Fingers crossed then that you've given us a few winning tips there, Charlie. And if anyone follows you, best of luck with your bets. And of course, Charlie, thank you very much for joining me.
We'll catch up with you again soon. Absolute pleasure. Looking forward to the game.
Thanks, Charlie.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.